Luke chapter 5. Well, there are. Bless your hearts. There are. Bless your heart. I can't read them, but other folks can. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. It's good to have you with us today. We are in our series. We basically, our theme for the year is growing deeper and reaching higher. And the themes of the quarter, each quarter, the theme will be based on the verse in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that is the first quarter this year. We're going to be renewing our strength. The messages will all be focusing on that. So Luke chapter number 5, I titled this "Want Blessings," and I hope you want a blessing. I hope you came to get a blessing. You have been a blessing just by coming here and being a blessing to me. But look at Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed on him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Why don't you read the even numbers and I'll read the odd. Here, number 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they had enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Lord, amen. Let's pray. God, please speak to our hearts today. Bless us. Father, if there's one among us or watching online right now that has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, may today be that day where they reach out to you, where they repent of their sin and call upon you, believing what Christ did on the cross saved them. May they put their faith and trust in you. And Father, for us, your children, God, let us learn from the example of Peter today. Help us, Father, to apply it to our lives that we may grow thereby. And Father, that we may be people whose lives are a testimony to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word that of the day is blessable. Blessable. Are you blessable? Blessable or blessable? I mean, you want to be blessed, don't you? Have you ever amused or amused? That means to think. Have you ever thought on or daydreamed about what it'd be like if you won the Powerball, if you won the lottery? You know, it'd probably ruin you. It'd probably ruin you. It ruined me. We called it runt in Arkansas. It ruined me. But the truth is, it would. But you daydream about it. Wouldn't that be incredible? What would you do? But when you think about it, would you rather have that or would you rather have the blessings of God? See, the blessings of God are His favor. Do you know what it means when I say the favor of God? When a little baby comes toddling over to you, they're a little unstable in their steps, and then they put their arms up. And what swells up in your heart at that moment can only be described as favor. I remember the first time I held my firstborn son, Joshua, and I looked down in that little face, and I felt favor. I felt favor for him. He had my favor. God's blessings are available. God's blessing. He loves to bless us. It's not a give-to-get prosperity gospel. That's hogwash. Listen. God loves you, and He can't love you any more than He already does, because He loves you with a perfect love, a sacrificial love, a love where God has offered you everything that He is and everything that He has. That's a sacrificial love. And God looks at you with favor. He loves you, and His heart swells when He looks down at you. So many people think that God looks down at you with condemnation. No, nobody in heaven does that. God loves you. And to be blessed means to have His favor, to have Him look down at you in favor. Now, in the Bible, I was reading through the book of Psalms last month, and I love the Psalms. They're a blessing. But it says in there multiple times, God is good, period. Almost like God went, mic drop. That's it. God's good. You got to walk with God a while. You really do. You got to walk with God for a while to really let that sink in.
to look back over your life a while and look back and go, God was with me in every one of these situations. And God was good. And it turned out for my good, just like he said it would. And God is good. And you've heard people say that cliche, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You know, we're talking about the goodness of God. He does all things well. But are you blessable? We want the blessings of God. Money can be given and taken away. Money can be lost and stolen. But the blessings of God, the Bible actually says the blessings of God add no grief. They add no grief to you. They are not bad for you. They're good for you. In Luke chapter 5, we have the story of Peter. Now, I resonate with Peter in the fact that I resemble him a lot. I open my mouth just so I can change feet sometimes. I'm always speaking before I'm thinking. And sometimes I just don't see things the way they actually are. I don't see the big picture. And so we get into the message today in chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that's Jesus, they gathered around him. Why? They wanted to hear the word of God. He stood by the Lake Gennesaret. And I want to tell you today, people are still hungry for the word of God. Not everybody Jesus approached, not everybody Jesus talked to was willing to receive the word of God. And so I'm here to tell you, not everybody you approach is going to receive the word of God either. But you can tell there are people whose hearts are open, and you want to be talking to those people. So if you're at work and a conversation comes up at the coffee pot or the Coke machine, their heart's open, you can talk to them about it. But the guy that bloviates and acts like a fool and wants to belittle Christianity, his heart's not open. But the people in the cubicles around you watching how you're going to respond to that fool, their hearts are open. But just because, you know, and we worry, we think, well, I'll never know what to say. Let me tell you something. Jesus was the best speaker ever, the best pastor ever, the best preacher ever, and they didn't all listen to him either. But people are still hungry for the word of God. So give it. Talk about it. You can always use the word of God to be a blessing. Verse number 2, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And I love that when it says here, and prayed him, that's Old English for he asked kindly. See, our God is a gentleman. Our God does not force himself upon you. Our God asks for permission. He doesn't force you to do things. I always say, God doesn't force you to go against your will, but sometimes he'll change your circumstances to where you're willing to go. But God is a gentleman. God doesn't force his love upon us. He'll use what we have. He wants to partner with you to use what he's already given you. The question is will you let Jesus have what he gave you to use? Why would God want to give us more stuff if we are not obedient and faithful with the stuff God's already given us? Right? So look at verse number 3. I didn't finish it here. It says, and entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. At that moment, the bow of the ship became a pulpit. God's chosen method to communicate truth has always been preaching. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Now, I don't understand why he chose this. I didn't choose this. This was not my idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Now, look what it says here. Now, follow along with me. You need to see this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. When God was faced with the fact that mankind don't listen, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why does he call it foolishness? Because people are driving by this very property right now on Hayfield Road, looking at cars backed up to the parking lot going, what a waste of time. Why would people take their Sunday morning and come to a church to hear some guy get up and throw a fit behind a pulpit? Why would he do that? I used to think that way when I was lost. I used to thought church was a waste of time. People are fools. Why would they do that? That's crazy. Why would they give money to a church? That's just crazy. And why would they sit there and just let him throw a fit? Was he funny? Is he bored? I don't know. But God chose this, and he called it foolishness because the world thinks it's foolish. That's why. Because as you read the rest of the chapter, it talks about how God chose the weak things of the world and things that you wouldn't choose, but God chose. And I find that interesting. So it's by his chosen method to communicate truth from one person to another. Now, if you're taking notes, you can look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Because the Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith in me to faith in you. As I explain the Bible to you, it becomes more clear. The Holy Spirit writes the word of God upon your heart. It makes sense. I understand that. When I was coming to church, my preacher would unlock the scripture for me when he would preach. And faith in him became faith in me, and that's how this works, is you're going to communicate this to somebody else, and your faith will bear fruit as faith in someone else. Now, we get into verse 4. Go back to Luke 5 here, and it says here in verse number 4, now, when he had left speaking, when Jesus had finished his sermon, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know, God will bless us if we let him use the stuff he gives us. And he will typically bless us in and through our vocation. Amen. He'll do that. He really will. God is in the blessing business. It is his pleasure to bless us. He enjoys it. Yeah, you folks that got grandkids, do you enjoy being a blessing to them? I can't wait to have grandkids. I don't want to spoil them right. I want to be a blessing. Why? Because, you can relate to that. God wants to do this. But, you know, God's promises are based on an if-then proposition, meaning if we will do this, then God will do that. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this morning, you need to write this down. Obedience always precedes blessings. That's how it works. That is how things function in God's economy. So the question is, do I want the blessings of God? Do I want God to bless me? Am I blessable? Based on your behavior and your choices over the last 7 days, are you blessable? Can God bless you? God does not reward bad behavior. He just doesn't. Do you as a parent reward bad behavior? You know, it may be cute when they're 3, but when they're 13, it's ugly. Right? Right? And you moms, when that boy gets about this high, you better cave his chest in or he'll walk all over you. All right? But you better get your bluff in. Right? Because what was cute when they were little is not cute when they're old. And God's not going to reward bad behavior any more than you are. So are you blessable? So look what Simon says. Now, I relate to Simon. This is where we get into Simon Peter, and I've done this, so I can preach on this, okay? And Simon answering said, Master, we've toiled all night. Come on, God. Come on now. I'm tired. Look, I think I know what I need more than you do. That's all right, really. I'm okay. What was Peter saying? Hey, God, don't fill my boat. Don't fill my boat. I've already worked all day. Or excuse me, I've already worked all night. I just got the nets clean. I got the smell of the fish out before I got home. And now you want me to go? You want me to go home? I've worked all day, used up all my words, and you want me to go home and minister to my wife. What are you doing? Master. I worked all day. It's like I was talking to one of our military folks in the 830 service after that, and they say sometimes working with subordinates in the military is like dealing with children. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen it like that. But they'll spend the whole day dealing with their herd of cats. And then now I got to go home and nurture my kids. Master, cut me a break. I've toiled all night. I'm tired. You know, did your mom ever give you one of those looks like, I've had more than that in my eye. Get up, boy. Your mom ever do that? Huh? That's how my mom would talk to me. I wonder sometimes if God don't talk to us like that. God sometimes, I think he looks down from him and goes, really? That's the excuse you're going to go with. Really? Huh? Right. Huh? I invented the concept of tired. Aren't you glad I wasn't too tired to leave heaven and come to earth? Aren't you glad I wasn't too tired to not only live a sinless life but go to the cross? Aren't you glad I wasn't too tired? What was Peter saying? Look, I know it's a fishing boat, Lord. I know it's made to catch fish. But don't fill my boat.
Don't fill my boat. Look at verse 5. And Simon Peter answering him, Master, we toiled all night and taken nothing. Look, Lord, okay, I'm a professional fisherman. Bless your heart. You carpenters, you don't know nothing about fishing. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? Look, don't fill my boat. No, trust me. Look, I'm a third generation fisherman. I know it's more art than science, and obviously I haven't figured it out all because I toiled all night and I didn't catch nothing. Why don't you carpenters just leave the fishing to us? You ever ask God to stay in his lane? Because, you know, in the military, sometimes you all have to compartmentalize personal and professional life. You'll find out it's that way in the secular world sometimes too, but God don't want you to compartmentalize him. He don't want to be compartmentalized to Sunday morning and Wednesday night or Christmas and Easter. You don't look at God and go, why don't you just stay in your lane? You don't know diddly about Forcecom or whatever it is you people do. You ever do that? Look, God, I love you, appreciate you. Peace out, but you don't know nothing about this or really. Is that how you feel about the Lord? Do you ask God to stay in his lane? Peter forgot who he's talking to. But believe it or not, God knows more about your vocation than you do. He really does. God had to teach me this. I was at the foundry in Mapleton, Illinois, where they make the actual engine blocks for the Caterpillar tractor. Anyhow, you'd walk in on the shop floor, and it was like walking on the moon, because with every step, there'd be a puff of dust, okay? Because it's the foundry, okay? And I'm talking about huge cauldrons of steel being melted and stuff, and I'm wearing a suit because I got to fix a line printer. And one of those old digital equipment line printers that had the keyboard built in, that's how you talk to the mainframe. Some of you folks probably dealt with that in some of your press. All of it's down at the Smithsonian. Everything I was really good at is down at the Smithsonian. So anyway, I'm working on this silly thing, and it's having an intermittent problem with the head not printing, and nothing's more frustrating than an intermittent electric problem with an electronic device, right? Because you can't figure out what the deal is. And so I was so frustrated. I no joke. I got mad. I got down on one knee and I prayed. I said, God, what is the deal with this printer? I can't make it work. Help me see something I don't see. And I looked down and said, amen. And there was one of those C rings. We called them the Lord's clip because you cuss and take his name in vain if you lose one. And laying right there in the dirt. I put that thing. I'm like, wow, that's off the master head control. And I put it up there. Boom. Thing worked. You know, God knows more about electronics than you do. God knows more about military finance and military health care than you'll ever know. And we forget who we're dealing with. God wants to bless you, but not if you want him to stay in his lane. So do you want the blessings of God? The Bible says in Psalm 126 and verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be with thee. God wants to bless the works of your hands. And you're about to see why in a minute. But he wants to bless you through your vocation because he knows more about it than you do. But have you ever said to God, come on, Lord, now? Don't you understand? I'll have to rewash the nets and I'll have to rewash the boat. And do you realize God's ideas are never convenient on our timetable? Have you found that to be a problem? I found that to be a problem. Where he always wants to do stuff when I've already got other things planned. And I wonder how many times do I miss the blessings of God because God is not staying in his lane and messing around with my schedule. But I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, the sermon you needed was the one you missed. The blessing you needed was the service you skipped. And maybe you and I aren't receiving boatloads of blessing because we're smarter than God or we think we know more than God or... So we get into verse 5 back in Luke. And Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Now this is, I find this interesting. This, I resonate with this too. Nevertheless, at thy word, you know, sarcasm doesn't play well with God. You're actually picking a fight with God at that point. And you know, there's no good outcomes when you pick a fight with God. There's just no good outcomes. It's like going into the general's office and beating on his desk and telling him what he ought to do. It doesn't work. It just doesn't end well. Don't pick a fight with God. He's being sarcastic. Nevertheless, listen, I'm going to shut the preacher up.
All right, here what we're going to do. We're going to show. Look, I've been there, okay? And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll let down the net. Have you obeyed like that? Have you ever done that to the Lord? Oh, okay, fine. Huh? Like a teenager being drug out of their room. For some reason, they can hear the word food, but they can't hear, hey, come here, help me. Amen. Right? Amen. Nobody else has teenagers. All right, praise the Lord. We'll work on it when you get a little older. But did you notice he said, I'll let down the net. Do you have, that's partial obedience. Jesus said in verse 4, let down the nets. Let them all down. Peter went, oh, okay, fine. Nevertheless, I'll let down the net. Do you ever half-heartedly obey God? What is obedience? Let's recover it for those of you who are new. What is obedience? It's doing what you're told, when you're told, with a sweet attitude. Because delayed obedience is not obedience. Now, we know what regular disobedience is. That's rebellion. But doing it on their timetable, that's delayed obedience. And delayed obedience is not obedience. And obeying with a stinky attitude like, it's not my fault. I didn't make this mess. You don't have kids that do that at your house? Okay, I'm sorry. That's just scratch that. It only happens in my house. And I tell them, it's not about equal distribution of labor. Just do it. But why? Because you eat here. This is not a rest home. Amen. Right? This ain't a nursing home, dude. You live here, you're going to work. That's how we do. You know, you half-hearted. Oh, okay, fine. Do you do that to the Lord? When it comes to your Bible reading and prayer time, it's like, I better do this. I don't want him to smack me. I'll do it. But what you're really saying is, Lord, don't fill my boat. Don't fill my boat. Now I got it the way I want it. Don't fill my boat. So as I said, doing what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. So back in verse number 6, and when he had done that, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. It's like God went, booyah! Welcome to the party, pal. You know, what do you think of that? How do you like me now? You know what I mean? Does God ever do that to you? You just sort of obey, and all of a sudden God goes, boo. It worked. But obedience always precedes blessings. In Deuteronomy, if you're taking notes, Deuteronomy 11:26 says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. What is God saying? The choice is yours. Everything I have, everything I am, everything I want for you is available to you. Stop saying no to God. Don't fill my boat. Don't do that. And I wonder, you know, why don't we have boatloads of blessings? Well, do you ever like obey with an attitude with God? Well, I wouldn't go to church except, you know, I'm afraid God would curse me. Well, congratulations, he won't curse you, but poof, there went your blessing. Well, I wouldn't go to church except my wife would never shut up about it. Well, congratulations. She isn't complaining. But poof, there went your blessing. You know, I wouldn't go except my kids would think I was a hypocrite. Well, congratulations. You got what you wanted, but there went your blessing. Because, I mean, when you think about it, your parents, if you're a parent in this room, what kind of a blesser are you? Think about it. What kind of blessing do you give when your kids don't obey? When they partially obey? When they delay to obey? Are you just like fired up to bless them when they just whenever get around to it? You're not much of a blesser either when they do it with an attitude. That's how it is. You know, God calls himself Father because we could wrap our head around that. He's our Father. So obedience always precedes blessings. Now, the cool thing, the joy of all this is, God's little handful of blessing is bigger than your net. Look at verse 5. And they beckoned unto their partners that were in the other ship. Verse 6 says the net was breaking. Look at that. Look at that. Verse number 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. This is big. Let me tell you something. God's handful is bigger than your tub. God's handful is bigger than your buckets. And God's little handful is bigger than your one little silly net. Verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. It's crazy. The blessing God wanted to give Peter was so awesome it spilled over onto his companions. But have you ever thought to yourself, what if, I mean, just say, just for craziness, just for fun, think about it. What if Peter had completely obeyed? Go back there to verse 4. It says here, when he left speaking, he said, Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets. Let them all down. And instead of giving God attitude, he just went, okay. And threw out every net and a handkerchief too. What would he have got? You think, well, we don't give to get. No, but God's blessings go beyond anything we ever did. Because, see, you understand, when we don't fully obey, God will use our multiplier instead of his multiplier. I want you to think about that for a second. We sing that song, There Shall Be Showers of Blessings. Do you ever feel like your life, you're getting little dribbles out of a communion cup? Where's the showers, Lord? Where's the obedience, son? Where's the sweet spirit? Are you receiving the showers or a dribble? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What if Peter had let down all the nets? Now you're in Luke 5. Look at Luke 6. Let me give you an example. I'm just going to use one example here to kind of break it down. It was right here in Luke 6, so it was easy to find. Verse 38. He says, give. Now that's a command. And it shall be given unto you. Now that's a promise predicated upon our obedience. God is making this promise saying, you do this and I'm going to do that. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's God's multiplier. That's God's multiplier, not ours. See, when you check out that last phrase where it says, for with the same measure ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So when you and I partially obey, and obey with an attitude, God goes, fine, I'll multiply according to your calculator. But when we do it his way, with a sweet attitude, he uses his algorithm. In Malachi chapter 3, he says, bring ye, that's you, all the tithes into the storehouse. That's a command. That there may be meat in mine house and prove me now therewith. That's permission to test God's character. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that's a promise predicated on our obedience. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's his multiplier. That's God's multiplier. You realize God's handful is bigger than your tub. God's handful is bigger than your wheelbarrow. And if that's what gets thrown out the windows of heaven, imagine what comes through the front door of God's throne. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down. Verse 8 of Luke 5. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Guess who decided to wake up? This is the definition of the true death. And I'm not trying to be controversial, but this is a woke Christian. This is a Christian who understands who God is and what God said and does it. And worships God first. See, the problem is we try to fit God to our narrative. That's not it. We are his servants. We follow his narrative. And God don't have a lane, guys. He owns the entire swath of land, and we live in it. And we're not to compartmentalize yet. And so it's obedience, complete obedience, on time, every time, with a sweet attitude. And then you'll be surprised by the blessings.
Verse number 9 says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee." Now, I'm not just talking about finances. You got to understand this. I drive that old 2003 brown truck, and I pass BMWs and Mercs and all kinds of stuff parked on the side of the road with a flag out the window. And I just go, praise God. That's a blessing. I haven't had to take that thing in to the shop for over a year. It just keeps going. Well, I'll pick on people for different kinds of cars, but I'm just being honest. The health. I haven't been to the hospital in 30 years. Okay, I just don't. I don't get sick. I'm just saying, I'm not making promises that God isn't going to hold to. Please, I'm not saying you do what God says, you're never going to get sick. No, I got the COVID. I had a runny nose and a headache for 2 days. But you got to understand, God's blessings aren't just money. Their health, your stuff will last longer. I mean, while they wandered in the wilderness, their shoes never wore out for 40 years. Now, you ladies be upset. You got to wear the same shoes for 40 years. But the attire never changed, so I guess you didn't need new ones. But do you understand? Amen. The blessings of God are not just money. It's healthy kids. It's grace when you're faced with something you don't know what to do with. God gives you grace. Maybe there is no medical treatment, but God gives you grace. That's the blessings of God. Maybe it is a trial that makes you walk closer to God than you would have ever otherwise. That's a blessing. The blessings of God are not just money, but they are predicated on our obedience. And to the extent you obey is the multiplier God uses. And I got to tell you, God's calculator is bigger than mine. His algorithm covers more area of my life than just my checkbook. So I say to myself, what if Peter would have obeyed? Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. See, you understand, when you obey, what happens is you... Look, when you disobey, the consequences are inevitable, unavoidable, but left up to God as to what happens. When you obey, the blessings are unavoidable, inescapable, and left up to God. You understand that? He has bound himself through his word to follow through. Because if his word's no good, his name is no good. So if God said it, he meant it, he's going to do it. But he left the if up to us. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him, that's God. Now unto God that is able. This is God's ability, not your ability. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Now, those are some powerful words. I'm not trying to be childish when I slow down. But we read so fast anymore because we're in such a high-speed society. We forget to really resonate and ruminate on the ideas of these words. God is able to do exceeding or far above abundantly. Abundantly means more than I can handle overflowing. God's able to do more than that. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That means that you even thought to ask for or even could imagine in your mind. He can do more because it's not according to your power, it's according to his power that worketh in us. You ever wonder why you're getting the dribble instead of the boatload? Now, you understand God's blessings on your life draws other people to God. It says in Luke 5:10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God doesn't rub our nose in it? Do you know what that means? That's a Midwestern phrase. Do you know what that means? Yeah, you keep your dog from digging up your roses. You put their stuff in the rose bed. You didn't know that? Keep your dog from digging, put its droppings in the rose bed. Because once it starts pawing and finds its stuff, it stops digging because it don't like it. My dad housebroke our dog by when it was a puppy, to rub its nose in its stuff when it did it on the kitchen floor. You think, oh, that's just terrible. She never went in the bathroom. She never did that again. Aren't you glad God doesn't rub your nose in your mess? So often we think of our sins in such a clinical, sterile idea. For just a second, I want you to imagine yourself, you're the 5-pound dog leading God around by the leash, making your mess wherever you want and expecting him to clean it up. You see people walking their dogs. Those folks out there got more education than I got. And that dog tells them where to go. And that dog makes them stop and pick up stuff. I don't know when I remember we had our first child. I had a bachelor's degree. I took calculus. I could find the area under a curve and rotate it 360, but I became a diaper sniffer. Nobody else resonated. Okay, you didn't do that. Well, praise the Lord. Look, I love you, but we think of our sin as some sort of a benign, simple little thing that's no big deal. But if you think of it as a steaming pile in your kitchen floor, all of a sudden you get disgusted with your own sin. Amen. Christians, we get beat up all the time by the lost world because we're so judgy. No, if we judge anybody, we judge ourselves because now we're more aware of our sin. And we're more disgusted with our own selves. If you're walking with God, you're going to become more disgusted with your own self than anybody else. You ain't got time to judge them. You're too busy, sick over your own stuff. Right. And see, obedience. You need to see obedience, or maybe you should see disobedience in a different light. And then we want God to come around and clean up after us. Look, I know that's disgusting. Maybe you didn't think somebody would say that from the pulpit, but obedience precedes blessings. And every time we tell God no, it's, don't fill my boat, I'm good. I don't need whatever you got. Don't fill my boat. In marriage, when we don't minister to one another, we don't love one another unconditionally, we're forfeiting the blessings of God. We're just like, don't fill my boat. When we don't take the time to nurture our kids and train our kids, I didn't say discipline, I said train them. Discipline's a tool. Training is the point. And you don't have to use corporal punishment. It doesn't work. You know, on one of my kids, it never worked. What do you do then? It's all about training. But when you're too tired to train your kids and do right by your kids, do you understand? You're telling God, don't fill my boat. When you decide, you know, I don't need Sunday night church. The blessing you needed was the one you missed. The sermon you needed is the one you missed. I don't need church. Don't fill my boat, God. When you don't share your faith with other people, you are missing a blessing God had intended for you. When you don't read and pray and tithe and witness and go to church, these are the basics of Christianity. You are basically just throwing out a net going, well, I'm doing what I want when I want. And you wonder why the dribble instead of the shower. Are you blessable? God wants you to be blessable because not only does he want to be good to you, he wants to show himself powerful to all these people who don't believe. He wants them to see something. He wants to see it through you. He wants your life to be a living testimony of his existence and his goodness and his love. And you get to be the conduit and the recipient of it all. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you realize God's blessing's bigger than your net? And every single time, it's available to us. Our Father and our God, we love you. And Father, forgive me if I was carnal today, but Father, I beg you, help us to see the truth of your word, the blessings you have in store for us if we'll just bow the knee in our heart and say, yes, Lord, your will, not mine, your righteousness, not mine. And Father, we pray today that you would touch every heart and every soul. Father, too often we're like Peter. When we obey, it's not always full on. We don't go all in. Forgive us, O God. reignite in us a passion today to be your people, called by your name and obedient to your will. And Father, may you glorify yourself, and may we be a people you can glorify yourself in and through. Do the work that only you can. And Father, if there's one among us today on campus or watching online or will watch later that is not saved, Father, what a blessing to know heaven's our home. What a blessing to know that you love us and have forgiven us and offer us this free gift of salvation. Father, let those who don't know you call upon you and begin a life of service to you and a life of testimony to others. We ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar's open. Won't you come and put a stake in the ground and say, Lord, from today, today I give you back my heart. Today I give you back my life. Today, God, I live in your lane. God, please, will you just come and pray? Talk to the Lord today.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you.
Our Father and our God, we come before you thanking you, God, for the truth of your word. And Father, remind us as we go from this place, Father, let us take this truth to heart that obedience precedes blessings. And God, you're always ready to bless. You're always ready to intercede and to work in our life and through our life. And Father, today we ask that you would do just that. You would be a testimony to others through us and that they may come to know Christ as their Savior as we did. And Father, as we go from this place, let us take this with us. Let us live it. And Father, may as we come back tonight, Father, let us bring a visitor with us that they'll hear it too. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.